This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 a.m. on Wednesday, the 15th of June. We are midweek. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. Let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
A rather mixed day, actually. The Dow was down 0.5%, S&P 500 down 0.4%, while the Nasdaq was actually up 0.2%. Meanwhile, in Asia, Nikkei was down 1.3%, Hong Kong, Hang Seng was flat, Shanghai Composite was actually up 1%, Straits Times Index down 1%, and our very own FBM KLCI defied gravity, we were up 1.1%.
Indeed. So for some thoughts on where international markets are heading, we have with us on the line Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda. Jeff, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, given the steep drops in equity markets over the last week, what do you think? Are we now well and truly in a bear market as far as stocks are concerned?
Good morning. Yeah, this one's a little challenging to really put your finger on. I think it's really going to come down to the Federal Reserve and the FOMC committee this evening, our time. The market's already priced in 75 basis points of hikes with more of those to come. But there is talk that they could go a whole 1%. I think if they come in at 75 basis points, and indicate that we're going to see more of that as they play catch up in this inflation battle, then it's going to continue to be a challenging market for equities. From what I can see, PPI was well over 8% in the US overnight. So those inflationary pressures are still coming through the system. And I think this is going to be a theme through the whole of this year. So as I've been saying for some time now, it'll be challenging. And I think with the unwinding of all this stimulus excess, there's still more pain to come.
But Jeff, does this then mean that valuations don't matter anymore, that cheap can get cheaper and markets will just ignore it?
Well, for me, it's like they ignored valuations on the way up as well. Some of the forward valuations for particularly growth stocks seem quite, how shall I put it, crazy to me. The assumptions that they made on earnings and growth over the next 10 years, which were all done in an era of 0% interest rates with quantitative easing all around the world, those were extremely optimistic. And I think this is more not so much a case of stock markets crashing to earth. This is a case of us repricing back to what reality should have been as interest rates around the world and monetary policy are normalized.
So usually with bearish equities, investors would flock to the safety of bonds, but we are seeing instead US Treasury yields rising while prices are falling. Why are we seeing this phenomenon in fixed income markets?
Very good question, this one. It's a chicken and the egg, isn't it? This question of bonds leading equities or equities leading bonds, but we're seeing both being sold. When bonds get sold, yields go up. They move inversely to the price of the bond. The difference here for the first time in over 20 years is that the world has a high level of entrenched inflation, and that has been the big change. So even through the GFC and the start of the pandemic, when we saw these huge corrections in stock markets, we were in a low inflation environment. And the central banks at that time had room to cut rates to zero and start quantitatively easing. We don't have that option now. And what we're seeing is the rise in yields to reflect that reality of high inflation. That's also torpedoing the growth outlook and valuations of equities. So they're all being sold. And in this market, cash is always king.
So let's talk about cash. And I want to talk about the greenback. It's just been the only asset class that has appreciated. Do you think there's still legs to this?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Asian currencies in particular will have a challenging year. Regional Asian currencies are going to have a challenging couple of quarters ahead of them, at least, I believe, because Asian countries are not hiking interest rates as quickly as we're going to see in countries in such as the US and possibly even the UK and the Commonwealth countries, etc. So those interest rate differentials are going to weigh on local currencies as the year goes on, I think. but I'm not seeing any chance of the US dollar losing its throne. We have to remember that interest rate differentials have come back into play now. Yeah. And if the US is going to be hiking rates to well over 3%, it will be more attractive for investors to get a yield of 3% on deposit in US dollars than, say, 0% in euros or other, say, Singapore dollars or some such thing.
So let's talk about the ringgit against the greenback. Where do you see the short-term support for this? Currently, it's 4.42 at the moment. Do you think Bank Negara will start intervening?
I'm very dubious. If anything, they might do some quiet smoothing, and I think we've seen that from some of the regional central banks in Asia this week. Look, I think there's two factors here. One will be, does the US dollar keep getting stronger? The second will be, does China start trying to seriously weaken the yuan? In that scenario, I think most of the rest of the region's currencies will weaken. I think the next target for dollar ringgit on the top side is 4.45, and if that breaks, then that suggests that we're going to see a test of 4.5. And on the downside, the near-term support is around 4.35. But I think that Asian currencies will remain as a grouping under pressure for the next few weeks at least.
Can I get your thoughts on oil, Jeff, which is currently hovering at the $120 per barrel? It was 122 yesterday, now down to 121. Now, some analysts say the current high price of oil is partly due to underinvestment in the ONG industry over the last 2 years. So this is causing the global supply squeeze. What do you think? You know, do you think we're going to see a partial reversion back to fossil fuels?
Well, I think the world needs to get a little bit realistic here. So we're effectively fighting an economic war in Eastern Europe at the moment. Now, Russia, we know, is a huge energy exporter. There was never going to be the ability of the world to just flick a switch and magically change over to batteries and renewable electricity, and we all go out and hug trees and live happily ever after. There had to be a transition. And I believe that this ESG movement, to a certain extent, and I'm not against ESG, I might add, but it's crimped, particularly in Western markets, investment in the oil and gas sector. And that is a penalty that we are paying right now. OPEC Plus is at 200% compliance because they can't even begin to pump the oil that they've even got under allocation at the moment because of this underinvestment. So I think there needs to be a bit of a reality check here in the world that we can't magically flick a switch and move from one to the other. There has to be a transition. We're also seeing a huge squeeze in refining capacity around the world. So petrol and diesel are rising because there's just not enough capacity in the world to refine that oil, even if it gets there. So when you put those frameworks in context, I think the only way that oil is going to stay is at very high prices for the foreseeable future.
Jeff, thanks as always for speaking to us. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks to come. Capping the conversation there with a look at how ONG is looking, a reality check. We need that, he says.
Yeah, even if you can pump it out, there's no place to refine it. So it looks like oil prices are going to stay stubbornly high, at least above $110-$120 a barrel for the moment. Meanwhile, the other thing that's staying stubbornly high is, of course, the US dollar. And that's on the back of the interest rate differential between US dollar and many of the emerging market currencies, even the ringgit. And let's say we talk about the Singapore dollar, the Filipino peso, the Indonesian rupiah, the Thai baht. That's the case, right? I think especially on the back that tonight, the Fed will be meeting 2 p.m. their time. And it's likely at least 50 bips, 75 bips. And then now I heard, 100 bips.
Possibly a 1% increase. I think that's why markets are pretty chaotic at the moment, right? I
guess chaotic is a nice way to put it, Shaz. It's crazy.
Factoring in all these different calculations on what the Fed might do. So we're going to bring you that news first thing tomorrow morning.
For sure.
But let's take a look at some of the global corporate news coming out at the moment that's caught our eye. And I think we're seeing the starting effects of what a recession could look like. C Limited is making its first major job job cuts in areas spanning shopping and food. So it's joining other tech firms in downsizing this year in anticipation of unprecedented market and economic volatility. So this was an email seen by Bloomberg. The CEO of Shopee, Chris Feng, he said that the unit plans to let employees go across its Shopee Food and Shopee Pay divisions in Southeast Asia. These cuts will also extend across its Mexico, Argentina, and Chile teams, as well as the cross-border team supporting Spain. That sounds like
everywhere.
A fair number of cuts,
yes,
really.
Like, where are they cutting? So if you look at C share price, it's actually down close to 69% on a year-to-date basis. Meanwhile, another company that's actually cutting staff is Coinbase. They're laying off almost a fifth of its workforce amid a collapse in stock and crypto prices. So in an email, this was also seen by CNBC, the crypto exchange will cut 18%, like I say, and that's roughly 1,100 people from its current 5,000 headcount. So we're beginning to see the pain that these corporates are going through translated into job cuts.
We'll have more on crypto markets after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.